Well, we continue a series on prayer. In this series on prayer, we have already seen how to pray. God is our only audience. Plain speaking, as an obedient child to a heavenly Father, and in a closet to give God the glory and not self. We have seen the proper pattern in prayer, praising and worshiping God for who and what He is, giving our petitions in reverence and in faith. Faith in knowing that He can answer, reverence in the fact that He does answer. Well, today we look at how to get even closer to God, seeking to leave our world to come into His presence, seeking to have a close audience with our Heavenly Father to receive His power when we are in severe spiritual distress, coming to Him with what is most important. As Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." We leave our worldly kingdom of sin to come into His kingdom of righteousness, leaving behind our worldly concerns to receive His spiritual power. A tool we do not use near enough. That tool is the tool of fasting. Now, an example of the power of fasting was the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, by Jonathan Edwards. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God greatly empowered the Great Awakening. Now, Jonathan Edwards was not a dynamic speaker. He had no lights. He had no music. He had no smoke. He did not have a nightclub-type atmosphere. Well, why was he so successful? A historian reports this. He delivered his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, on July 8, 1741, in such a manner that it would seem impossible to have made an impact. He did not have a commanding voice or a pulpit presence. He read the manuscripts with few gestures. Yet in spite of the servant, the message went forth and the convicting power of the Word of God fell on those in attendance. To prepare for the message, Jonathan Edwards had not eaten anything for 3 days, nor had he allowed himself any sleep. He could be heard praying repeatedly, "O Lord, give me New England! Give me New England!" When he got up from his knees on Sunday morning and entered the pulpit, before he said even a word, people could see that he had been with God. They immediately began to fall under the conviction of God's presence. He saw the threat of America slipping into a Laodicean atmosphere. He prayed and fasted to have New England not be new lukewarm, but to be hot for God, to serve Him in spirit, in truth, leaving his world and pleading at the throne of grace for 3 full days and 3 full nights. And God answered. In the Great Awakening, prayer and fasting were important to all religious leaders. In the Second Great Awakening, we saw the same thing. Pastors prayed and fasted that the power of God would become upon them, would become upon the church, that people would turn to God. We are lukewarm today, and we need God's Spirit to make us hot again. We will see it when we get serious and become afflicted for our own sinfulness and our own lukewarmness. We will see it when we become afflicted for those going to hell. We will see it when we care so much that we leave this world's dainties and come into His presence, prostrate in front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to give us the answers to those prayers, fasting to forget this world's moldy bread to receive His bread of life. This is a tool that brings God's power. As a weapon used correctly, it's an atom bomb, with power against Satan that he cannot resist, with power to destroy us if we use it wrong for our own glory. Let's look at fasting. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 16. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at Your Word, we see the power of fasting. We see how You want us to come into Your presence. We see how You want us to leave the world behind every now and then and be with You fully, not caring about what the body needs, but caring what the Spirit needs to be refreshed. to be strengthened, to be sent out and used by you. When we're in distress, Lord, come unto you that you may give us joy. You may give us those answers in prayer. You may guide us and direct us, give us the peace that passes all understanding. To be like Jonathan Edwards, coming in severe distress and seeing those prayers answered. Lord, let us grasp the power of fasting. Let us realize what it is you want us to do when we fast. And let us use this tool as you see fit for your glory and our joy. As we open up your word, Lord, let us ensure that we understand it and use it correctly. We ask all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, a typical Jewish fast was sundown to sundown. That's pretty much what they did, and they did it often. Now, there's a reason they did it sundown to sundown. They're in the Middle East. Days are fairly constant there in the Middle East at that time. Don't try doing a sundown to sundown fast in the Arctic in the summertime. You'll get mighty hungry. So, how long is a fast? In general, a fast is as long as it needs to be. Now, a Jewish fast, you know, Pharisees fasted twice a week. A lot of people talk about fasting often. Paul fasted often. A systematic fast is a reasonable thing for basic times to set aside to be afflicted with your own sin and let God empower you all that much more in your life. It's an important practice. Paul fasted often. The apostles fasted often. Cornelius fasted when his prayer for salvation was granted. Anna spent her days praying and fasting and was allowed from the temple to see baby Jesus. Jesus fasted. If these people considered fasting important to strengthen themselves, to make themselves spiritually strong, do you think maybe it may help us in today's world? Notice the wording of verse 16. It didn't say if you fast. It said when you fast. Christians are expected to fast in order to draw us closer to God, leaving the physical world, coming into the spiritual world, that maybe our spirits may be empowered by God. We do not take fasting seriously in the modern world. Now, Rich talked about the Great Awakening, something we're trying to get going here. Do you want a Great Awakening like Jonathan Edwards saw? Practice his attitudes and his distress for a lost and dying world? He may grant you that, but that's what it's going to take. In distress, go prostrate in front of God in fasting. Receiving his guidance and peace, follow that guidance and peace, allowing him to empower you to do it. As with prayer, our audience is not man. Our audience is God. We don't seek man's blessings for how holy we are. We seek God's power for how sinful we are. In distress, allowing him to work through us. In distress, allowing him to empower us. Men should not even know that you are fasting except by accident. Follow your daily routines as you fast, seeking his kingdom's glory and not your personal praise. God will answer. We don't know how God will answer, but God will answer. He gave Jonathan Edwards New England. So as we look at how to fast, we need to see the ABCs of fasting. First of all, an authorized fast, then a beneficial fast, and finally, a corporate fast. So an authorized fast. You need to remember that you are an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a very foreign land. Does this look like anything close to what the kingdom of God should look like? We're obviously in a very foreign land right now. An ambassador to a foreign land would not want the king of that land knowing that we are seeking guidance from our king to figure out how to convert his subjects, his king's subjects. We must know how the king wants to use us to defend us against the wiles of the king of this world, which is the devil. Seeking wisdom, strength, and encouragement, we have a direct line to heaven. A private line that he will answer, and that should bring joy. When I'm in the presence of God, I shouldn't have a disfigured face. I shouldn't be looking like I'm in so much pain. Look how holy I am because I'm fasting. We're in the presence of Almighty God. That should bring joy. We should be showing joy to other people. And they then ask, why do you have so much joy? Because I have God in my background. I talk to God often as I can. They don't need to know you're fasting. What they need to know is you have been with God. What did it say about Jonathan Edwards? They noticed he had been with God. His glory is our reward. Those seeking to look holy with their fast without being holy are very poor stewards of his magnificent grace. They draw attention to themselves when they should be drawing attention to their king. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Seeking for yourself the glory of a jealous king will draw a jealous king's wrath. Being judged and found wanting, you will find out as a steward that you don't have any place in his holy kingdom. These unfaithful stewards, false ambassadors, will be found sinners in the hands of an angry God. The Bible says something about them. It says it in a slightly different way. They come to a jealous God who will share his glory with nobody, and in Hebrews 10:31 warns them, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't want to fall into the hands of the living God. I want to approach him as he calls me to his throne of grace. I want to approach him as he waits for me to come to him in love, worshiping him for who he is, giving his petition, and then thanking him for the answers he gives me. I'd much rather do that than fall into his hands because I have not done the things I'm supposed to do. Isaiah had these in mind when he showed the right way to fast. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 to 9. So in Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 3, it says this, talking to Israel. Wherefore have we fasted, saying they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in a day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. In Israel, priests fasted for pride. We see that all the time in the New Testament when it comes to Jesus. I fast twice in a day. Look how wonderful I am. Pharisee and the publican said, the Pharisee said the same thing. They fasted for pride. A fast should involve the exact opposite of pride. A fast should be because you are in distress of spirit. Distress over your sin. Distress over the lack of your ability to accomplish God's will and realize you need his help. Distress over needing an answer to prayer that you have not received yet. Coming in distress, abasing yourself, then he will lift you up. If you come lifted up, he will then abase you because you are using a fast, a tool he gave you, a very powerful tool, in the wrong way. So the authorized fast is coming to him in distress. What's a beneficial fast? A beneficial fast is to totally abstain from food. In distress, leaving your worldly comforts to go straight to the throne of grace. Giving up this world's moldy bread to receive his bread of life, in distress, humbling yourself, absolutely bereft of pride. As David said in Psalm 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. We fast to seek an audience with the Most High, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, appearing unto God to fast and not unto men. It is a time of intense spiritual prayer. It is a time to come into his presence, a time of distress when you need the answer and you cannot go away without it. God gives the guidance for fasting. Accomplish your worldly duties as required in stewards, being in an attitude of prayer constantly. Talking about that next week, talking about pray without ceasing. That's the attitude you should be in as you fast. That doesn't mean that you're not going to continue your jobs outside. You're not supposed to take call in sick and say, I'm calling in sick because I'm fasting. Man is not supposed to know you're fasting. God is supposed to know you're fasting. So, follow this. And Psalm 19:11 says, and in keeping of them, there is great rewards. What happened with Jonathan Edwards? He fasted. What did he see? he saw a very poorly delivered sermon turn a Laodicean church into a Philadelphian church. They were converted. They were saved. There was great revival, and it spread all through New England. What is your desire? God will answer it if you fast in his way, and he will answer it in his way to give you joy as he receives glory because of it. When should we fast? Well, the most important time when we should fast is when the Spirit calls us to. If the Spirit calls you to fast, fast. That's pretty easy. But we also fast when special needs arise. We fasted when the hurricane threatened our land on Pine Street. God moved that water in a way that we never saw coming. Fast when we need to humble ourselves. That's a good reason to have a systematic fast. Yeah. Wednesday at noon, I'm going to fast every week because I need to come to God. I need to have myself cleansed. I need to, in distress, make sure that I have no sin against the Holy God. When spiritual power is needed, salvation for someone, persecution that you're facing, temptation that you cannot escape from, that spiritual power that God can give you, when you need it, fast to God. Jesus fasted for 40 days to become spiritually weak. When he fasted for 40 days, became spiritually weak, he became spiritually invincible, showing us the pattern of how to defeat the wiles of the devil. And finally, when you're trying to understand his will for your life, in general, you fast whenever you're in distress over anything. How long should you fast? Well, a Jewish fast was 25 hours. Jonathan Edwards fasted 3 days and three nights. Paul fasted 3 days, three nights before God sent him Ananias to set him forth on his mission. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, he was God. But Exodus 34:28 says it's about Moses. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So there's a 40-day, 40-night fast with no water even. How long should you fast? You fast until God gives you peace. Typically, no longer than 3 days for health's sake, unless the Spirit calls you to an extraordinary fast to glorify himself. Moses fasted for 4 days, 40 nights. I don't recommend doing that without the Spirit's leading. You don't drink water for 40 days, you're not going to survive it. God spiritually and miraculously held up Moses to get him through it, that he could write the Ten Commandments and he could show his power working through Moses. Who should fast? The short answer is everybody. But diabetics and those who control diets must be very careful in this area. I will never call upon someone with a controlled diet who has diabetes, who needs to have the blood sugar controlled. I will never call them in this church to fast. But if the Spirit calls them to fast, he can keep you healthy. If the Spirit calls you to fast, he can keep a diabetic with his blood sugar absolutely perfect. He kept Moses alive for 40 days without water. So if the Spirit calls you to fast and you're a diabetic, go ahead and fast. But make sure it is the Spirit calling you to do it and not your idea for pride. I think God will hold me up. You do that without the Spirit's leading, you're going to have problems with your blood sugar. So only do that if the Spirit calls you to do it. But let's look at it a different way. You have a controlled diet. You can't fast. The Spirit hasn't guided you. I want to honor God. Okay? Well, you're leaving this world to go to another world. God has given you a limitation. Well, you have a favorite TV show. You can skip that and pray. You have a favorite food. You can skip that favorite food and pray. You can fast things that you like to leave this world to come into God's presence to show him glory and honor him. In general, drink water with your fast for health. Paul and Jonathan Edwards did not drink water. But in a long fast without water, if you're working, it'd be very hard not to be seen of men to fast, because you would be extremely uncomfortable. Now, Paul and Jonathan Edwards didn't fast, but yet everyone knew of their burdens. They were doing it not for their own glory. They were doing it because they had such severe distress that they couldn't leave for even a moment to get a drink of water. Well, they honored God by doing it. They weren't doing it for their own pride. They were doing it because they were in that much distress. So, an authorized fast is one where we have the right audience. A beneficial fast is doing it without food to honor God until we receive the answer and a peace. The last thing is a corporate fast. Now, you notice these verses don't have corporate fast in mind. In a corporate fast, a body of believers comes together to relieve distresses against that body. They also fast to consecrate people or to seek direction from God. Acts 13:2 said this, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Paul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they went around putting elders into every church around the whole area, they always prayed and fasted as they consecrated those elders." In some instances, it is absolutely necessary to fast. We believe that fasting caused God to separate Paul and Barnabas. He empowered Paul and Barnabas, and he allowed Paul and Barnabas to work. He answered those fasts. Israel in distress often called for nationwide fasts. Esther called for a three-day fast prepared to talk to the king to save the Jews. Ezra called for a fast in Ezra 8:21 for the rebuilding of the temple because of their sins in the past. He consecrated the walls the same way. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Nehemiah chapter 9, starting in verse 1. "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood," what did they do next? "And confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God." This was a joyous time. They had rebuilt the walls. They had done what God wanted them to do. And then they fasted and confessed their sins to make sure they were still right in front of a holy God. Many of the minor prophets called for national fasts to bring Israel back to God. In each case, there was a distress. The joy in rebuilding Jerusalem with Ezra and Nehemiah, but distress in the sin that caused the diaspora in the first part. A church should fast for the same reason. Church facing persecution, direction, consecration, wisdom, protection. Our church has fasted for specific reasons in the past, with people fasting for single meals. When it comes to the Third Great Awakening, if God starts looking like he's going to send a revival, if he's putting everything together, I'll call for a three-day fast in the church. And I'll call for those who can fast to do so, that we may see the power of God come. But it'd be the Holy Spirit leading in that point, that we're in distress for the fact that we have a Laodicean area and we don't have the power to bring forth this revival. Anyone here think we have the power to bring revival? We have obedience is all we have. That's what we fast for, that God will work through us with that faith, that we'll answer their prayers. Maybe he'll give us New England. Our country used to be blessed. Many presidents used to call for days of national fasting with prayer and humiliation. Can you imagine that happening now? Lincoln called for this himself 3 times. Now, we can't even pray in Jesus' name, let alone fast and call for prayer and humiliation. Any wonder why we're in the predicament we're in this country? So, with all this, continuing with the weapons of prayer, we'll start applying them a little bit more in a couple of weeks. But this is one of the weapons once again. Fasting is a critical part of our arsenal. It shows God we are willing to leave our worldly comforts to come into his presence, into his kingdom, praying that the bread of life will fill us spiritually as we forsake the moldy bread to make our bodies healthy. In some instances, it is absolutely necessary to receive an answer. When the apostles could not cast out a particular demon, Mark 9:29, Jesus said this, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." You have a prayer and you cannot get the answer, remember that verse. Maybe that particular problem can only be solved by prayer and by fasting. Fasting is not a fad. It's not a religious rite. It is a power from faith to draw God's grace to relieve some distress in your life. If we fast correctly, nobody should know it. Now, I'm fasting, for instance, and Tom wants me to come over, and I have no reason not to come over to eat dinner. And I say, no, I'll have a rain check. Well, why? Well, you can say that, well, I have some distress. I'm just fasting for now. I'd like to come back some other time. In that case, you are not asking for your own glory. You're trying to avoid offending a friend. So it's all right to say something like that. But don't say, Tom, I'd love to. You don't know how hungry I am. But I'm fasting right now. Until I get the answer, I can't. I'm so sorry. Can you pray for me because I'm fasting so much? That would be a slightly different situation. Do that, you're looking for your own glory. You already have your answer. God will not honor that fast. So you fast for a very specific answer. Fast for as long as it takes to have peace about that answer. And you give glory to God for that answer in private so that you can be rewarded openly. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." That is the open reward that I am looking forward to. The open reward in which he looks down at me and says, "You evil sinner, you had faith. You evil sinner, you did the things I called you to do. You prayed, you fasted, and you did it for my glory, not yours. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou in the joy of the Lord." That is how you're lifted up, by obeying him, seeking his glory, seeking first the kingdom of God, and then all those things be added unto you. So, a periodic fast for general understanding of your shortcomings is good. No, whether it be every Wednesday, whether it be once a month, whatever. Coming to God's presence that he may instruct you, that's a good thing. A longer, stronger fast with tears is called for when you are under distress. In any case, remember, you are leaving your place to meet with him at his throne of grace, not calling him down to you that all may see. Praise God, he answers prayers, and praise God, he rewards fasts. With that, when we fast, we're coming to the throne of grace, but there's only one thing that brought us there. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's sing hymn number 137, Near the Cross. Anyone here ever have any distress in their lives? Paul had severe distress. He fasted 3 days, 3 nights, wondering who this Jesus Christ was that knocked him off the horse on the road to Damascus. Jonathan Edwards had delivered sinners in the hands of an angry God in Northampton to zero effect and was concerned that the great awakening he was seeing was not happening in his area. He prayed and fasted and basically empowered the rest of the great awakening. We see many times where people prayed and fasted and they got the answers. Are you suffering distress? Maybe it's time to go to God. Maybe it's time to leave this world for a while, come straight to his presence, not worrying about your physical body, but worrying about the spiritual side. That's the power of fasting. If you're having distress, don't tell me about it. Tell God. Go to his presence. Fast in front of him, showing that you're serious, showing you want to be in his presence only, and you don't care about anything in this world. You care about his kingdom. Do that. He will answer. Don't know when. You may fast for a meal. You may fast and have dessert. Maybe God will answer that fast. Maybe it'll take 3 days, as it did with Jonathan Edwards. But he will give you the peace in the time it takes for you to grow closer to him. So with that, as we go to prayer, if you're in distress, ask God to answer it. Ask God to give you peace. Ask God to give you guidance. Maybe go and fast today. Maybe go and fast tomorrow. I don't know. That's between you and God. It's not between you and me. And then be willing to do that whenever the need comes. So go to God if you're in distress. Ask him for answers. Ask him what you should do next. And then Rich plays a verse, I'll close this. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are on your throne. We're so thankful that you call us into your presence. We're so thankful that you allow us into your presence. And Lord, we can come closer to you by leaving this world completely behind, fasting of the body's needs as we attend to the spiritual needs. And Lord, by doing so, you listen to us that much closer. You see the seriousness, and you give us the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, let us take advantage of that. If we're in distress, let us come to you. And Lord, you will give us that peace. If we're in distress, let us fast as we care more about your glory than our comforts. As we're in distress, Lord, let us seek your answer that you have promised you will give us. And Lord, it may not be the answer we're looking for. But Lord, you know what we need. All things happen to good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Lord, let us know what that purpose is. Let us know why we're going through whatever struggle we're going through. The distress we're going through, Lord, give us peace to handle that distress. Give us grace to handle that distress. And allow us to use the tool of fasting to come even closer, that we may come into your presence that much more intimately. And Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know what I'm talking about because they're not saved, they've never come into your presence because they haven't gotten near the cross yet, allow today be the day that they see the need of salvation, that they see the need to come to God for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And today be the day they are gloriously saved for your glory. And let them come to me or anyone else in this church. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.